This is Jay Sekulow, a catastrophic failure of leadership on the issue of healthcare.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
A vote against Graham Cassidy is a vote to save Obamacare. The Republican majority in Congress was not elected to save Obamacare. They were elected to repeal and replace it. And it's time for every single one of them to keep their word to the American people.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
There's been a split in the party and some concern in the Senate that Republican voters are very angry at Congress for not doing anything on major priorities. Do you think that they'll forgive you? Will Republicans forgive you if you can pass tax reform, even if you fail?
Well, obviously, in the House, we're a little frustrated because the House has done its job. We passed our health care bill last May. We have passed more bills in the House of Representatives at this stage in the Trump presidency than at the same stage of the Obama presidency, the Clinton presidency, both Bush presidencies. We have been extremely productive. For the first time since 2004, we passed all of our appropriation bills as a Republican majority.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, you could call this a lot of things, but I'll tell you what. Although some in the Senate are saying they're pressing on health care, let me tell you what I call this. A catastrophic failure on the issue of health care and a catastrophic failure of leadership by the House leaders, the Senate leadership. And it's really focusing on the Senate because they're the ones that couldn't get it done. As before, the failure of the latest Obamacare repeal attempt comes down to primarily three no votes. But I got to say, it's not just those three. Rand Paul, John McCain, Susan Collins. But then Ted Cruz and Mike Lee have also expressed their concern. And I think if there was actually a vote, there would probably be eight or nine that would vote no. For 7 years, Republicans have run on the idea that they were going to repeal and replace Obamacare so that health care could become more affordable for the American people. They have failed in delivering this. They have failed in their duty. And frankly, as I said, I believe this is a catastrophic failure of leadership on behalf of the Republicans. Jordan, that's how I view it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to describe what has happened here, but a catastrophic failure. And it starts at the top. It starts with Mitch McConnell.
Yep.
It starts with the leaders. Obviously, they could not get their rank and file in line, so you can put as much blame on Rand Paul as you can John McCain and Susan Collins. Obviously, on the ideological spectrum within the Republican Party, that's pretty broad. And we already have indications there were more senators
yep.
that were likely would join in no votes, people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, because once you have a few who take that initial stand against it where you know it's going to fail, it's a deluge. It's a waterfall of votes against this kind of legislation because no one wants to own health care reform in the Republican Party, specifically in the United States Senate. But to me, this gets to a point, and we've had these discussions before, is that no one wants to be the leader of the United States Senate. No one wants to be the Republican leader. That's why Mitch McConnell is able to stay in place. But at what point do you have to step aside because you have failed as a leadership team? I mean the entire Republican leadership
yeah.
team. Because they failed. They can't get their rank and file members in line to vote on the one issue that they've pledged to repeal and vote on for 7+ years.
7 years they have run on repeal and replace. They didn't have a replacement ready and they couldn't get it repealed. So do you think it's time for a little change in leadership? Or what's your reaction to all this? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me go right up to Washington, D.C. Our studio's there. Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. I'm calling a catastrophic failure of leadership, and for that matter, some of the members as well. What's the latest? You just came out of a series of meetings.
Yeah, I did. It's one of the most frustrating, discouraging legislative efforts I've ever been a part of, Jay. I would put it to you this way. The American people sent 52 Republican senators to the United States Senate primarily for one reason, to get rid of Obamacare. I would tell you, Jay, every single one of those 52 has failed as of this moment as the last one goes down. And I would just tell you this. They've had three votes on this. I think by my count, 13 Republicans have voted no at least once during the course of that. So this
yep.
just isn't two or three, like you said. It's all of them, all 52, Jay.
All right, Logan, we're already hearing from people. Our phone lines are jammed, and social yep. media is a lot of people commenting on this.
That's right. Get your comments in on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope on Twitter, at JaySekulow. You can find us also broadcasting at ACLJ.org. And like you said, no lines are open right now, but they may open up. 1-800, well, one's open, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today. Give us a call again, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, we'll talk about it more when we come back from the break. Got a lot to discuss here. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So this was a bill, by the way, the health care bill, which would have listed the abortion providers as prohibited entities for 1 year. That's all this bill would have been good for, but that would at least got you time to get it going. Denying them Medicaid fundings under the plan. It also bars the plan that covers abortion except in the case of rape, incest, or health of the mother from reimbursement under the small employer health insurance expense credit. So it had a pro-life component to it as well. But it failed. And at this point, and they haven't pulled the plug on it, but it looks like that's where this is going.
Well, they're literally meeting right now at lunch to determine whether or not they're going to force this vote this week, Jay. But three Republicans have already announced their no votes, McCain, Collins, and Paul, and you're not going to get a Democrat on it. Joe Manchin has said specifically that he will not come over for this. So as of this moment, it's dead. I mean, technically, could they come to an agreement? Sure. But three of their 52, once again, how many times have we been through this, have announced their opposition, and the repeal of Obamacare is promised to the American people. At this moment, Jay, it's dead.
It's unbelievable. What a complete catastrophic failure of leadership to not be able to get 50 senators in the same party on the same page on something they all ran for. We should get all 13 of their ads, of these senators that are the ones that are earmarked on this, and play their ads on repeal and replace. That's what we should do this week. Just to, you know, there you go. All right, let's go ahead and do you want to take a comment, Logan? Go right to the phones.
Let's go to the phones, OJM. Let's go to Rita in Tennessee on line three.
Hi, Rita, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. You just about answered my question, and that was, what do we do now? I particularly called John McCain and said, you know, look, I've supported you for years when you ran for president, when you were the number one guy to say, we're going to appeal this, it's wrong, it's not good for anybody. I've not heard one person stand up and say, Obamacare is working for me.
Let me play you John McCain's campaign ad that ran. Take a listen.
Obamacare is failing Arizonans. First, a massive rate hike, more than twice the national average. Then, America's largest health insurer abandoned Arizona's failing Obamacare exchange. That's devastating, especially to rural counties. Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick bragged about her Obamacare vote, saying,
it's also the one I'm most proud about.
While Kirkpatrick's proud of putting us at risk, John McCain is leading the fight to stop Obamacare.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
You have to wonder, did he even listen to the message? I mean, John McCain has had some issues with clarity. And honestly, I wonder if he even listened to his own political ads. Because you notice in there, all that you hear from John McCain is John McCain saying he approved it. I mean, he went into the studio and cut that, and then his campaign team. So what you really had was a Republican political strategist, and it was effective political strategy, go around the country cutting these ads, having Democrats saying they like it, and then just getting the candidates themselves, the Republicans, say they approve the ad. The American people rely on these ads because they do say they approve the ad. But then again, did you actually even hear the candidate there? No. John McCain never even said. Now, I'm sure he has before. But what does that tell me? How little they actually care about these issues that they act, that they tell people to vote on. And that's why I think people are so fed up with the Republican establishment of Washington, D.C. They've tried to show that through a number of votes already, but yet they still get stuck with people like Mitch McConnell as the leader of the United States Senate. And I think that that is when they start throwing their hands up in the air. It's like, how can under the Trump presidency, the Republican leader in the U.S. Senate, whose wife is part of the Trump cabinet, by the way, can't get the major legislative piece through? I mean, he should resign today. If he was a real leader, he would at least offer his resignation, because I don't know that anybody else would want the job. He'd probably keep it, but he could at least offer to resign.
Logan, what are we hearing on social media? And as you get to find a couple of comments, let me ask Than a quick question. So, Than, as of right this moment, where are we?
We're at 49 votes, and I think your speculation is probably correct that we're probably beneath 49 votes, but three of them have said they are no, so you're at a maximum of 49. And, Jay, we've said this time and time again, the deadline to use the reconciliation under the rules is this Saturday, but let me just tell you this real quickly. Guess who sets the rules for the United States Senate? Article 1, Section 5. The United States Senate sets the rules. So if they really wanted to do this, they could do it, Jay.
They don't. I mean, that's my theory. I'm coming to the conclusion that they didn't want to repeal it. It was a good campaign. It was it's your campaign vote. My campaign vote is I'm going to repeal Obamacare. When I go to do it, then they actually don't do it. And that's not all of them, obviously, but enough of them. So they're all running ads on how horrible it is, but none of them will do anything about fixing it. Or at least not a majority. And considering the Republicans have a majority, that's pretty disconcerting. All right. Comments coming in on social media. We'll go right back. The phone lines are jammed. Social media comments are coming in large number.
A lot of people are just frustrated. We have comments like this, and maybe you can answer this from Brett. I said, why, if we can't get this together, what are we going to do? Here's one from Claudette. Said, if they can't give us what we need, what do we do? What do we need from them? And then Jesse, if I said, we cannot vote Democrat, what are we going to do? Who are we going to vote for?
Well, this is the question. I mean, I think that the real problem here is leadership, because they start this move towards repeal, which they should be working on for 7 years. They get in control of the parties, and then they can't deliver. And they can't deliver either because they don't want to deliver or they're incapable of leading. And this is the problem. I mean, you have 7 years to figure this out, and you can't do it. There's no excuse, by the way. I mean, I don't have a great alternative, by the way. There's no, we could do this and vote it out. I mean, I think new leadership is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, the issue with that is it takes years in the Senate to get new leadership, because they're elected for 6-year terms. So you only have a rollover about 30 or so senators every election cycle, and then they're there for 6 years, and the next group comes up every another 2 year. Yep. They're there for 6 years. The key is, listen, there's Republican control right now. There's no excuse.
Yeah,
we don't need a supermajority, because this is through reconciliation. There is no excuse. This is a complete failure of the Republican Party. This is the kind of actions that if you keep acting this way, like if you can't get to tax reform, if you can't get any legislation to the president's desk, your party is effectively over.
Yeah. So that's the question you need to be asking yourself. All right, we'll take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed up right now, folks. We're going to try to grab as many calls as we can and keep killing them for you.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Sally in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, online too.
Hi, Sally. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I agree with what you said about running the ads.
Yeah.
The American public is absolutely fed up with the Republican leadership, and new leadership isn't going to be able to help us soon enough. But to me, the real crux on this is, if they had to live on this kind of insurance, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be where we're at.
No, of course. But Sally, you're pointing out a very important issue here, and this is you've got this situation now that's developed. Where does this leave the American people who can't afford their health care insurance? So now you've got, all these talk about, will there be a bipartisan response? I don't know. I have no idea where leadership's going to go on this. And I don't know if they want to wave the flag of defeat yet, but I will tell you that I am very concerned about this. It's just a complete lack of leadership, and then individual members, I think, have to respond to their constituents. But this is not a good day for the Republican Party, and it's not a good day for conservatives generally on this. That's just my view.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think there's a great strategy of quickly moving forward. Yep. I think the bipartisan option is not going to be something that Republicans like. Certainly pro-life community is not going to like, because you know what? That's not going to include
the
defunding of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Planned Parenthood is going to be a bigger government health care program, higher taxes, increased taxes. And this also makes me very nervous about tax reform, because how are you going to cut taxes if you can't get to Obamacare, which has been this massive support for Republicans? Cutting taxes gets even more controversial, because who gets the tax cuts, who doesn't get the tax cuts. I just see this as an issue where Republicans show that you can give them a majority and they're not a party that can govern in the United States Senate. I mean, what, you need 70 of them to be able to govern? That's never going to happen. It's not a governing party when maybe the tent is too big in the Republican Party. Maybe people like Susan Collins shouldn't be accepting the Republican Party. People like Lisa Murkowski shouldn't be accepting the Republican Party. That these people are too moderate, and the Republican Party no longer has a home for them, and they should be told that by their voters in their states, where they run as these extremely moderate. I mean, they are more liberal oftentimes, Murkowski and Collins, than many Democrats in the United States Senate from the red states.
I think that there's another question here, Than, and that is, we're not going to have time for calls. Let me just get this to Than, and we'll take calls when we come back from the break. Than, I think that the frustration level is, what is left for the American people here? I mean, what is the way forward?
I think Obamacare is a placeholder for Bernie Care. I mean, I honestly do. Yeah. I think Jordan laid it out right. Look, it's just a matter of time, because as premiums continue to explode, the federal government is going to have no choice but to prop it up. That probably will be in a bipartisan manner, Jay. It'll be propped up. But eventually, that is not going to stop the rising cost. The only solution at that point will be single payer. So what's left for the American people, Jay? I think primary challenges in 2018 are coming. I really do. I think primary challenges
are coming. We're already getting calls on that. People are calling about that. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. I think the political consequences of this should be, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Alabama tonight. It looks like all the polls are indicating right now that Roy Moore is a significant lead, and this, I think, is an anti-establishment vote, even though Luther Strange, I mean, and again, I'm not getting into the Alabama politics, but was only in the Senate for what, 6 months? I mean, he was, but this is, look, the frustration, it shows you, the frustration level is real. I mean, no question that it's real. All right, we'll take your calls and comments when we come back from the break, Logan. We could also take people's comments via social media as well, which may be the easiest way for people to get in right now.
That's right, because phone lines are jammed. You can get us online. You get your comments in. I'm getting those sent to me right now on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow. Find us broadcasting each and every day on social media, Facebook, Periscope, and on Twitter at Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Catastrophic failure on healthcare, catastrophic failure on leadership, and Dan Bennett counts 13 Republicans that, over the course of the last three attempts to get rid of Obamacare as we know it and replace it, have voted against it. And I call that a failure of leadership. I mean, that's what that is. All right, we're going. The phone lines are jammed. Comments are pouring in. We're going to go right back to the phones and take some calls. We'll get some comments in as well.
Yeah, June on Facebook said, for 46 years, I've been a proud member of the Republican Party. I'm conservative and proud of that, but my party is embarrassing me. So these
they're
the
in meltdown.
That are coming through.
I mean, you call it whatever you want. I mean, it's a catastrophic failure of leadership and the inability to get. I mean, this has been on the agenda for almost 8 years. And ask yourself this question. If I had 8 years to prepare the case, guess what I better be able to do? Argue it. And evidently they can't. So it speaks for itself, unfortunately. All right, let's take a phone call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Will, who's calling in California on line one.
Hi, Will. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? You guys are doing great. God bless you guys.
Thanks.
How can we put a mark on this politician put a mark on, like, liars, because they will say whatever it takes for their gain. They have to remember, this is people's lives and health is on stake.
No, I know, especially, I mean, the calls that have come in on this broadcast alone, where people are talking about healthcare premiums being, you know, $30,000 a year and they can't afford it, which is understandable. It's serious. And they're acting like, well, it didn't succeed, so I guess that's, you know, it ends up at single payer, which is what the Democrats wanted, which they will probably now get under Republican leadership. Now, think about that for a moment. That's where this could end up going.
Well, and will these people be there? You know, I can't blame the voters for voting these folks in when they were running ads saying that they were going to repeal Obamacare, and you voted for them thinking they're going to repeal Obamacare. But if you let them stay in the Senate, now some of them are there, they just got reelected, so they got 5 years left. But if the ones who are coming up in 2018, are you going to let them stay in the Senate? The ones who are coming up in 2020, yep. Are you going to let them in 2022? Because ultimately, this will be up to all of you, the voters, to decide if these people continue to be U.S. senators. Well, if they do, then expect more of the same, which is nothing. I mean, this will be, again, a president that will likely have to govern by executive order, much like President Obama had to do. But that was because
that's limited because Republicans
controlled Congress. That's why President Obama had to do it.
Yeah, this is
now
pathetic.
We got a Republican president and a Republican Congress, and our Republican president still can't get legislation to his desk.
I'm looking at the polling data in Alabama. We normally don't talk about individual races, but this is the outsider Roy Moore versus Luther Strange, who's only been an insider for months.
They're both elected officials in Alabama, too.
Yeah, they're both statewide elected.
Never in politics.
Yeah, statewide elected officials. But this tells you something. The Real Clear Politics average has Moore up by 11. Trafalgar has him up by 16. Optimus has Moore up by 10. Emerson has Moore up by 10. Gravis has Moore up by 8. So I think what you're seeing the reaction. Now, you know, this is one where generally the Republican wins the primary. They're going to be the senator from the state. And it will not change the calculus as far as there's still another Republican in there. But it tells you the frustration level with the Republican Party here when the candidate backed by the PAC that was controlled by Mitch McConnell, they couldn't deliver. People are really frustrated. And we're hearing it here. Let's go ahead and take another call or comment, Logan. Up to you.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Pat in New Mexico online.
Pat, you're on the air.
Hey, yes, I'm a registered nurse. I work with the Department of Health and Human Services,
yep.
And I work under the Indian Health Service, which
yep.
is an Indian, which is a single-payer system with a lot of altruistic doctors and nurses, by the way. But I've seen how the single-payer system is. It's very wasteful, and there's not a lot
yep.
of accountability for costs. And I just sense that I've also worked in the state system and private system,
yep.
which is more accountable. So that's just my comment.
No, look, I appreciate you calling in, Pat, because you're actually dealing with a kind of a single-payer system. Dan, you said this is where it's going. Is that where it goes?
Oh, there's not much choice. I mean, because if you keep the control in Washington, D.C., and costs continue to explode, there's not going to be a whole lot of option. And, Jay, I would just say on this accountability point, the caller's exactly right. And this version that's on the table today is actually the best on that point because it actually gets the power out of D.C. and sends it back to the states. The last ones did not do that, Jay. So that's an additional element of this one that people, conservatives, should be for.
So this is what you need to understand about the nature of this failure. So is there evidence? I like evidence, right? I mean, I deal with evidence. Is there evidence that the Republicans have failed? They're so divided that they cannot even govern on an issue of health care, a issue that they were working on supposedly for almost 8 years to repeal and replace Obamacare. While they complained, a lot of them did, about the rush on the Graham-Cassidy bill. And meanwhile, they had 9 months to when they were in control with the president, they had a president and the House and Senate. In 9 months, and still could not get it done. That's the rush. So what is the excuse? There are none. At this point, all of the no votes are exactly, and I think there's really, as Stan said, there's really 13 of them that have gone by here. And I think this is Senator McConnell's failed.
Yes. I mean, obviously the leadership has failed here. And there is one top leader in the U.S. Senate. Unlike the House, which has kind of a, there's other leaders in the Senate, but it's not like the House where you've got this kind of one, two, three, it's really, you've got the Senate majority leader,
yeah,
and then deputies who are really heads of committees. This all falls really on Mitch McConnell. And at this point, he's shown to be an ineffective leader because he cannot get his party together. Now, some of that may be that he's got a party that's ungovernable. Well, that's a problem then for the whole Republican Party. Does the platform need to be written in a way, just like the Democrats have done? They have to spend years in the wilderness sometimes because of it. But because they are a party which requires much more commitment to the party platform.
Yep.
When they do get in power, they get done what they wanted to do. They even do it on the slimmest of margins. They did that with Obamacare. The Republican Party loves to brand itself as a big tent party. Has that failed it? You know, has that actually been a failure? Because on big ticket items, you cannot get anyone to agree on anything. And so, yes, you're supposed to have these deliberative bodies so that you don't act too quickly. Yep. This is absurd. You've lost. I mean, we have lost on this issue now.
All right. Do we have time, Logan? Can we grab a call quickly?
We can try. Let's go to Dennis in Alabama really quick.
Hi, Dennis in Alabama. You're on the air. You don't have to tell us, but who are you voting for?
You don't have to tell us, but who?
I don't like either one of them, really. They both have issues.
All right. There you go.
My question is, I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, Manchin might switch parties anytime.
Nope.
And also, Menendez apparently is in the middle of a trial.
That's correct.
The judge won't let him leave.
The judge will not let him leave. The judge will not give him a day off. That does not mean he cannot leave. He can leave his trial, but the trial will go on. I do not think Manchin is switching parties. People have said that. Jordan, anything to that?
So far, I think he would only do that to save himself politically when an election comes up, and so if he was going to do that, this would be the time. If you could be the vote on health care or something like that, you'd do it. He's not.
Yeah.
So I don't think
that's going to pull it out. All right, we're getting ready to take a break. We're at our half-hour mark. Logan's going to let you know how you get the full hour of the broadcast and also get your comments, and phone lines are just jammed. So comments on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends so we can keep the more information out there. That'll be helpful right now as well. Good way to do it.
Yeah, comments like Madeline just said, that's why I voted for them, and they can't do anything.
It's unreal.
They won't do anything, really. All right, well, phone lines are jammed right now, but we'll open up at 1-800-684-3110. If we lose you here, you can still find us broadcasting live for another half hour online. That's at aclj.org, facebook.com/jseculo. Just go to the Jay Seculo page, the latest post. You can also go Twitter at Jay Seculo, broadcasting live there. Make sure you're following all of us on Twitter at ACLJ, at Jay Seculo, at Jordan Seculo, at Logan Seculo, I think at Dan Bennett. You can find us all there. And you can download the ACLJ app. It's available in the App Store for Apple TV, Roku channel, so many things. Subscribe to the podcast. We got another half hour coming up, though. Stay tuned.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, so I call it a catastrophic failure on healthcare, a catastrophic failure on leadership. You're going to end up, I believe, with a single-payer system, which is what the left wants, and they're going to get it. I think it's evidence right now that the Republicans have failed. They are so divided, they cannot govern. People are complaining about this. Some of these senators saying was a rush. Meanwhile, you had 7 years, almost 8 years to fix it. You didn't. You had 9 months since you've been in total control of all three branches of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And you still can't get it done. I call it a catastrophic failure of leadership. You can call it whatever you want, but I think the American people are paying the cost of this. And I don't think there's much of a way. I mean, I'm not going to paint a picture that's not reality. I don't see much of a way forward in the near future.
No, I mean, it's another year till you get to reconciliation. And so what? If you only need, 50 plus Vice President Pence, if you can't get the 50, then who cares? You're not going to get past a filibuster. The bipartisan support, any kind of bipartisan legislation, will be horrendous.
Yep.
We will not probably likely as an organization be able to support it. It will fund abortion. It would probably raise taxes. It would punish people for having good insurance plans even more so than it does. I don't even know what it would look like. And why on earth would Democrats get involved with a bipartisan plan? Why not just force Republicans to have to bail out Obamacare? That's what's going to happen in round one of this. It won't be single payer first. First couple times it's going to be Republicans bailing out Obamacare. Let that sink in for a little bit, because that's what your Republican senators will be rushing to vote yes on very soon.
I think this is the I think what Jordan said, by the way, is the reality of where we are. I mean, we could paint it rosy, but it's just not.
They're going to be rushing to bail out Obamacare.
Yeah, that's what they're going to have
for their
to
constituents.
Do it. Yeah, they're going to have to do that for the American people. All right, let's take Jerry's call. He's been holding Logan.
All right, Jerry in Rhode Island, you're on the air on line 6.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. Jay, remember in 93, the country was ripped apart by an impeachment, and you had a man reach across the aisle for the country. That was John Chafee, a military man, looking out for the country. Maybe we need a Democratic military man to reach across the aisle for the country. Jack, I hope you're listening.
Well, here's the question, and that is, there's going to have to be some bipartisanship on this then, because you've got a meltdown on a healthcare system, and you got to have to get it fixed. And the American people should not be left with the failure of the Senate. It should not be the responsibility of the American people to figure this out on their own when you can't figure it out on your own. So, I mean, there's going to be bipartisan nature just to keep what's existing afloat, I guess.
Well, Jerry's certainly right. The Democrats should reach across the aisle. But look, we got to paint this clear. They're getting what they want. They designed Obamacare to fail. They wanted it to fail. It is failing. So it's proceeding in the direction that they planned. We can't expect them to do that, Jay, because they're not going to. We just have to do what we're doing now. Say it very clearly. It's up to Republicans to save us from where Obamacare is heading. I would say it's heading towards Bernie Care. It's up to Republicans to stop it. And at this point, it looks like they've failed to do it.
You know, it's pretty ironic, Jordan, that here we are, 8 years after Obamacare. It was 2009 it was passed. I mean, you're almost at 8 years. And the end result of it is the Republicans are in leadership. They have a majority in the House, and the majority in the Senate. They got it through the House, and they cannot get it through the
and
United States Senate.
President.
And a Republican president will sign it.
So you need all three elements you need, and some wiggle room in the Senate, because you get a vice president who can provide that 51st vote, and they cannot get it done. I mean, that is just, folks, to me, so telling about where the Republican Party is. They are the party that always – listen, it's why – let's be partially honest. It's why someone like President Trump –
be fully honest. We don't have to be partially.
It's why someone like President Trump, who was not totally active in the party, was able to walk right into the Republican Party and take the presidency. It's because it's a party without leaders. It's a party without a platform that is meaningful. So you get Lisa Murkowski's and you get Susan Collins mixed in there with Rand Paul's and Ted Cruz's. And it doesn't make sense. As a party, those people don't make sense.
And they can't get it together.
On the Democrat side, you get 1.5 moderate maybe, and they call themselves that, but they certainly vote liberal. Think about it. Well, Joe Manchin calls himself a moderate, but he votes the same way as Barbara Feinstein.
Who's the smarter? Who's the better organized? All right, we'll take your calls. 800-684-3110. We actually open up a couple of lines at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back in a moment. Right, Logan?
Yes.
In a moment?
This is a critical time for our nation.
and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Taking your comments in via social media. And our phone lines are jammed, and we're getting a lot of responses, obviously, on social media as well. Our director of policy is joining us, Professor Harry Hutchinson. I've got a question here, Professor Hutchinson, is that what do you see has happened here? What has happened?
Well, Jay, it appears that Republican health care reform efforts are dead, and Bernie Sanders is closer to imposing his nightmare on the American people. Republicans are great at complaining. They're great at providing the American people with excuses. But the latest repeal effort is simply on life support. It's on a respirator.
Oh, that's being kind, yeah.
The Republicans have promised to repeal and replace Obamacare for 7 or 8 years. They're becoming just like the Know-Nothing Party of the 1850s. All bluster, all excuses, no action.
And because there's no consequence. I mean, that's part of the problem here. Now, the question is going to be, is there going to start being... While you were out, Jordan, I was saying during the break here, I wonder if on tomorrow's broadcast you talk about what should the consequences of this be. I mean, the phone lines would jam up. People are upset.
The consequences have to be smart voting. And there should be consequences for those who are the real problems with why this legislation isn't working. So it also comes not just to having your position as a U.S. senator. That's up to individual people in the states, activists in the states, but also who gets to be the leadership of the party. And I mean, I've talked about this offline with Dan Bitter, our director of government affairs, a number of times, is that, you know, in the Democrat Party, there's like a war to become leadership. Like, you have to wait in line so long to become Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. And once you're there, you have a lock on power. The Republican side, no one wants Mitch McConnell's job. I mean, Than, do you think that's still the case as of like this moment? Would anyone want to step up from the more conservative wing of the party and say, I'll be the leader?
Well, I would say not a chance, but Jordan, let's say that they did. You can't get 50 votes to repeal Obamacare. How are you going to get a majority of the conference to support you to oust the leader?
You're not.
It's not going to happen. I mean, the mechanism's not there.
It's not going to happen. I mean, that's the – now, unless there is – People start running against. They're starting to put primary candidates against Republican against Republican, which is risky, but that could happen as well. All right, we got to go right to the phones. People are calling. Let's go right to it.
All right, let's just go. Let's take some of these in order. Let's go to Jamie, who's calling on line four. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Jamie. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jay. Okay,
hey.
Jay, you're going to have to bear with me. I'm the real passionate one here, okay?
All right.
I said, Eight years ago, we were being held hostage and we're still being held hostage by Obamacare. I spoke with several of my Democratic friends.
Yep.
And they, several, changed to Republican because, well, I'll tell you because in a minute. And then some stayed moderate but yet voted for Trump. The top three reasons was religion, economics, and repeal Obamacare.
Yeah. Well, listen, how many ads did they run on the repeal of Obamacare? Go ahead and finish, Jamie. But, I mean, my gosh, I played half of them. I mean, it's unreal. But go ahead.
Okay. And the top ones that actually irritate me to pieces are McConnell, Paul Ryan, and John McCain.
Well, you know, Ryan did get this through the House. I mean, yeah, we do have to give him that. He got this through the House of Representatives. John McCain is just playing contrarian right now. And Mitch McConnell, it's just, I think it's a catastrophic lack of leadership.
John McCain showed why he got beat so bad in the presidential election. He friends are not, don't come easy for him. His one good friend in the U.S. Senate was the senator who proposed this plan, Lindsey Graham. And he stabbed him right.
Lindsey gave him a pass.
Yeah, I know. But that just tells you about these. They're not real friends. These are not close colleagues in the sense that they will actually stand together when the votes are tough.
Well, no, they have campaign votes and they have real votes. Yeah. And Harry, that's one of the things here. They have these campaign votes.
Because the same person put all their ads together.
Yes, exactly. The same consultant.
It's just
right?
A voice going, Obamacare is very bad. Then the Democrat candidate saying they love it. And then the Republican just saying, I approve this.
Yeah.
And who knows if John McCain even approved that ad. I mean, he probably did in 2 seconds.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably approved the ad. But one of the great things about John McCain is his inability to commit himself to principle. He ran against Obamacare, but when he has the chance to change the status quo, he comes up with an excuse. We need a bipartisan process.
Yeah, well, guess what? Okay.
Now, if repeal and replacement is not passed, we have a partisan process. It's called Obamacare. So, in essence, McCain is supporting the status quo.
No question.
The same thing is true for Rand Paul, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski.
No question.
They are all supporting the status quo.
No question. Logan, what are you hearing on social media? Then we'll go and take another phone call.
Yeah, people like Gail said, this is the time to dismantle the phony Republican Party.
Yeah.
Create a true conservative party. So I think those are the kind of comments that are coming in.
People are upset with the status quo.
Jordan has explained it very well. Why Republicans are divided is why the Republicans cannot get it done, though. It's divide on fiscal as well as social reasons. So people that are.
Well, I think there's part of that because you had the whole, you know, the Planned Parenthood defund. But I actually think that if the Planned Parenthood language wasn't in there, I still don't think this would have passed.
No.
That had nothing to do with it at the end of the day.
They didn't get to that
part. They didn't even get to it. Right.
They didn't even get to whether or not that amendment would go through or not. And
yeah.
Would
no.
they try to strip that out?
No.
You're way past that because you've got Republicans who are pro-life coming out against this.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you about how strong their pro-life stance is, by the way, when they're unwilling to take a shot at defunding Planned Parenthood for a year? I mean, $500 million could be taken away from Planned Parenthood, be catastrophic for Planned Parenthood. Instead, they've left us with catastrophically bad health care.
Yeah. And that's what we have. All right, let's grab
and Planned Parenthood getting fully funded.
So let me ask you this, Harry, because you got to look from a policy standpoint. What is the move forward here? I mean, what would you think the move forward would be? Is it you've got an entrenched leadership issue that's not going away?
Absolutely. So I think it's very, very clear that the Republican leaders have difficulty navigating their way through even a paper bag.
Yeah.
So it's very, very likely that the status quo remains in place. We have a Senate Majority Leader, McConnell, who, in my opinion, likely has difficulty finding his way to the men's room. So there is a huge, huge problem in the Republican Party.
So said Professor Harry Hutchison. I'm not going to comment on that. I am going to take phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan?
Moving on. Let's go to Joy, who's calling in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. Hello. Hey. I'll tell you what I'm going to do as a citizen. I live in Georgia, and I can't vote against any of these senators that have blocked the passage of this bill. But what I can do is I can keep a list, and I have a list now, the seven that were obstinate before and were the no votes before. It finally worked down from seven to about four.
Yeah.
But I'm keeping a list, and I'm going to donate to their primary opponents.
So
everybody in the United States can do exactly the same thing. I don't have to be able to be there to vote. I'm just going to send their opponent some money.
So let me ask this to Jordan and Than. Is this likely to spawn an opposition movement of Republican primary challenges or not?
Maybe. I mean, it's all, you have to look at each race. I mean, because some of these folks, you look at states, some of the reddest states have some of the most moderate senators. And you have to wonder why that is, why the challengers usually don't carry the day. And I don't think Alabama is really an example of that. These are two statewide elected officials. One is a statewide elected chief justice of the Supreme Court. One was a statewide elected attorney general of the state who was appointed senator. So those are not people coming out of nowhere right. in politics. You can look at plenty of races where that there is an opportunity to elect someone more conservative, and that person has had a very tough time against incumbents.
Yeah, so it's not an easy – this isn't an easy fix. Is there concern, Fan, in Washington that this could be coming, though?
I think there sure better be. I mean, look, here's why Jordan's maybe answer is absolutely correct. You look at the example of Lisa Murkowski. When is she next up for election? 5.5 years. There are going to be a lot of other issues that come down the pike before them. Now, senators that are up in 2018, Jay, I think they definitely will face primary challenges. Guess what? If this is still on the table in 2018, there are going to be a slew of Republican primary challengers.
All right, we're taking more calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, do we have time? Do you want to grab a comment here or a call?
Let me see if I can grab a quick comment. Well, yeah, no, let's grab a quick call. Okay. So Donna on line 4.
Hi, Donna. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was wondering, why couldn't someone just put a plain bill out at the last minute to vote on, just repeal Obamacare?
Yeah, and just a straight repeal bill, because it will not get 50 votes in the United States Senate, Fan, right? I mean, it's not going to happen.
We tried it. Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and John McCain voted against it. We called it a skinny repeal. It only got 49 votes.
Yeah, so, I mean, the problem here is, at the end of the day, Jordan, if you look at the entire three attempts here, that's why I call it catastrophic failure of leadership. They never could get it, and it makes you wonder, do they want it in place? And do they want it in place? That's what I question.
I don't think they want to own the issue. They haven't ever wanted to own the big issues in their country where the federal government has to play a role, has to play some role. Education, they've never been very good at running. You know, when it came to health care, I don't think they want to own that. I think it's easier to be the party against it. And that's what they count on, is that they can be against things. It doesn't work when you have the House, the Senate, and the White House. It worked well when you had the House and the Senate, but not the White House, because you could always have the veto threat. So they were all voting yes on these things, and it was getting vetoed, and you know that didn't matter, and they knew it would not go through. So it's easier to be the party of no. And unfortunately, they're more and more becoming that in the House and the Senate when it comes to Republicans.
Very, very frustrating. All right, we're going to take your calls, lots of them, at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Professor Harry Hutchison, our director of policies, with us. Stan Bennett, of course, up in the studios in Washington, D.C. We're taking your calls. We're going to go in the, I guess, Logan, the order. We've got all the phone lines are jammed. I mean, yep. Phone lines are jammed is an understatement here. Let's go ahead and try to get as many as we can.
All right, let's just go in order. Brian's calling in Florida on line two. You're on the air, and hey, one line just opened up. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Jay, I love your show.
Thanks.
Listen, I'm an entrepreneur, a business owner.
Yep.
I have well over 100 employees.
Yep.
And I must tell you that the level of contempt that I have for these fraudulent politicians is indescribable. But the thing that I'm concerned about is the difficulty in getting these people changed out.
Yeah.
Because at the lower levels, the local levels, we have these party leaders
right.
that are working to stay in tow with the people that are already in power.
So you're talking about how do you get the establishment moving or moved out? I mean, that's your kind of fundamental question, Brian?
Well, yeah, because your lower level,
yeah.
these party leaders are
sure.
lock and step with the people that are already in office.
No.
You got to compete against them to get any funds.
I mean, I think this is the great question. Maybe we'll have more time on tomorrow's broadcast to address it. But how does it, Jordan, I mean, that is the problem.
No, I mean, the biggest problem is what do you do in the short term with – what is at stake with our healthcare system? Whether you're the employer with 100, so you're still in this kind of small business realm, but you've got the mandate.
Yep.
Now, President Trump has exempted through executive order people from that mandate, but that's, again, you're relying on executive orders politically.
But what do you do? People are, they're talking about political change here because everybody's convinced this is going to happen. So he's what Brian's saying is you've got Brian said you got the local party leaders that are in pretty much lockstep with the establishment members of the Senate.
Yes, and that's because change at the senatorial level it takes longer than presidential years. So it takes a decade usually to see leadership turnover and more so. And usually you spend a couple you could spend two terms in the Senate before you even consider like a senior member of the Senate.
That's 12 years. I know.
So these people are there. They are somewhat immune to the problems of the country. Somewhat immune to the problems of their constituents because, as Stan pointed out, by the time Lisa Murkowski is up for re-election again, if she runs again, it's 5.5 years from now. It's pretty tough to get people to vote on what happened 5.5 years ago. It is.
So, Stan, let me ask you. I think that's right. I think George's right. So, realistically, what happens here to the leadership?
I think realistically.
Nothing, right?
Oh, with leadership, nothing. No, I think Leader McConnell is there. I mean, look, I would just say this is a ray of hope to the caller. Many of us thought that incumbency and the power of the establishment would keep Donald Trump from being president. Guess who's president of the United States right now? Donald Trump. I think an insurgency movement
is... But it's easier on the presidential level, is what Jordan was saying, than it is really on the senatorial level because of the nature of the staggered terms and the 6 years in office.
There's no question that that's correct, but I do think that social media and a lot of other things are trending in that direction.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Logan, do you think the social media is enough of a play in all this? I mean, is it enough of a platform right now?
Right now, yes, I'd say I'm only going to get stronger. So things next time, it's even gets stronger and stronger each time around on both sides.
Yeah. No, and they're very
all
good
right,
at it,
let's
too.
Take some calls. Let's go to Donald in South Carolina on line five.
Donald, you're on the air.
Hello. We really appreciate all you do. And I've called a few other times. I will also contribute to you.
Thanks.
I'm a veteran.
Appreciate that.
And,
appreciate your service.
Thank you for that. I've called before. I'm like the guy before. I'm a businessman. I spent 40 years in a major corporation. And if we had people, team dynamics, if we had people that get up and complain about not approving something, we put those people in the room. I've told you this before. Put Rand Paul, John McCain, Ted Cruz, Alexander, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins in a room. Tell them to develop a health care plan they can vote for. And the rest of the senators would vote for it. I mean,
Look, your management strategy makes perfect sense. I mean, we do that in as we're doing cases. The question, Harry, is I don't think they have the will. I think and this is the problem, Donald. I don't think they have the will to do it. I don't think they want to change it.
Absolutely. So I don't think Republicans are committed to solving core problems with principled solutions.
Yeah.
Rather, they're committed to retaining power and committed to raising more money to stay in power. So I think one of the solutions is to dry up funding for these incumbents, these incumbent Republicans.
Yeah, the question, though, I think it goes back to what Jordan said, is these are six-year terms.
Absolutely.
They're staggered terms. It's very hard to move. I mean, I don't think Mitch McConnell feels like his leadership is in jeopardy.
No, he doesn't. And that's a bad thing. That's a sad thing, is that he could be this big of a failure, and his party can fail this
catastrophically,
massively. And yet still, they retain their nice big offices on Capitol Hill and get to be in charge of the United States Senate. That is it's unbelievable, and it's what is sickening about politics, I think, to most people, is that they get their big offices, they get a great health care plan, their huge staff all get a great health care plan, and they get to go to their parties in Washington, D.C., and hold their committee hearings and sit there and end up passing no legislation, so they're not responsible for anything.
Yep.
All right, continuing on, Gretchen in Baltimore, you're on the air, line 6.
Hi, Gretchen, go ahead.
Hi. My question has already been answered, so I'm going to share a comment with you. I have to say that when I saw the president gathering the Democrats in his office when he wanted to get legislation, or, you know, that to me was encouraging to me. And I have to say to you, for the first time in my life, I picked up the phone and I called both of those people's offices, and I told them that I was happy that they were sitting down and talking to the President of the United States and trying to work together. And I can say to you now that I will continue to make those comments where I see, and I will contact legislators on that side and also the President's office to let him know that my desire is more having those people work together than having the lame people in the Senate.
Remember what the president said. If he doesn't get it done with the Republicans, he's going to work it out with the Democrats. And he'll force bipartisanship. So he's the author of The Art of the Deal. So he's got a challenge here. And, you know, I think he's up for the challenge. So we'll see. No question. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, I think, look, this is I'm sure the president's disappointed with the way this is going, as the American people are. The whole thing's ridiculous.
All right, let's try to take one more call. It's Dennis calling line 3. You're on the air.
Hey, Dennis, go ahead.
Hi. Hey, is the whole problem with replacing this the pre-existing condition thing?
No, the whole problem with replacing it is they don't want to replace it because they were covering pre-existing conditions. It wasn't that there was Planned Parenthood in there. They fundamentally, from a policy standpoint, Harry, couldn't get their head around actually replacing this.
Absolutely. So, in essence, the Republicans are committed to the status quo.
Yes.
Status quo, sorry. The Republican leadership failure on the bill, which would clearly defund Planned Parenthood in the individual mandate, is both catastrophic and it's inexcusable.
Yeah,
there
is
no excuse
for it. They
don't
want to give power back to the states, and the states didn't want the power. The Republican governors didn't want to be in charge of the funding. That's why Kasich came out against it. Chris Christie, all the moderates.
Because it was the block grants.
They didn't want to be in charge of the block grants. And the federal government, the Senate side said, okay, we love being in charge of money. We'll keep power in Washington, D.C.
I don't think that you're going to get this kind of analysis anyplace else. We're just laying it out like
we think.
Because
we're not bought off by any of these.
No. So here's the question, Dan, very quickly. We're running really out of time. Tomorrow they pull the plug, or today, what do you think?
I think after the lunch today, there will probably be an announcement that there won't be a vote this week. That's my prediction.
There you go. All right. Logan, let the people know how they can stay engaged with this exciting news.
Yep, that's exciting news and other stuff as it breaks. You can find everything at aclj.org.
Except your healthcare.
Yeah, you can find us on social media, though, at Jay Sekulo, at Jordan Sekulo, at Logan Sekulo, at ACLJ. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the Jay Sekulo podcast. Download the ACLJ app built for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. And there's also an ACLJ channel in the Roku channel store. So you can find it there. But again, aclj.org for everything you need and links to all of that and how to find us in your local market. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.